This is Writer's Cast, a podcast about books and authors. I'm your host, David Wilk. I'm interviewing Carolyn Levitt, who's the author of Girls in Trouble, a novel. How are you, Carolyn?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Girls in Trouble, which, you know, the title I think sometimes may not necessarily be clear to people that it's, you know, what the book is actually about. It's not actually about girls in trouble in a literal way, but is a story of one girl, specifically Sarah. Do you want to maybe summarize the story a little bit?
Sure. Girls in Trouble is about an open adoption gone wrong, and it's about all the parties who are involved. It's not just about Sarah, the young Harvard-bound girl who finds herself pregnant at 16. It's also about the choices and the mistakes that her parents make and the adoptive parents make, and even the mistakes that her child eventually makes when her child grows up. Girls in Trouble is actually a very old saying for a girl who is pregnant, but I meant it to sort of encompass all the women in the book who are in trouble in one way or another by their choices.
Right. It does seem, and I when I read the book, I didn't know what to expect. When I was interested in it because of the adoption element and the fact that you did an open adoption story, but I wasn't prepared for the kind of length and breadth and complexity of the story. You know, take not Sarah from this momentous period when she is, you know, that's completely fraught with emotion through much longer period in her life than I was really expecting. And I think that was really part of the power of the novel for me, is that you were able to get my attention for this, kind of epic almost.
Well, thank you. Yeah, well, one of the things that I wanted to do with the whole topic of open adoption was to show the ramifications that occur years down the line, and that, you know, like any major life decision, it's not that easily solved right away, that, you know, things spiral out and things happen to people.
Right, and of course, you know, it is fiction, but of course, you know, there's always an element of, literal truth in most, you know, in most novels, I think. And you personally had some experience with adoption, as I understand it.
Yeah, we did. After the birth of our first son, we decided we wanted to adopt, and because we had a relative who had such a successful open adoption, which is where the birth parents and the adoptive parents know each other and see each other, we decided to go that route, and we gave ourselves a year. And for a whole year, I spent a lot of time on the phone talking to a lot of very young girls, and what struck me is that most of the girls were more interested in having me be their friend rather than talk to them about what kind of a mother I would be or what their plans were. These were very, very lonely girls. And even though it didn't work out for us and we really weren't chosen, I couldn't forget the voices of these girls. They were just indelible. And that's what I wanted to write about.
Well, and I think you captured this. Obviously, novels are acts of imagination, so they go beyond the literal experience that you have. Maybe you could talk about that a little bit, because there, you know, when many times people are told when they're thinking about writing to write something that they know, which is a kind of instruction to help them be authentic,
mm-hmm.
Because I think people sometimes do have trouble imagining and transforming their own experience into somebody else's experience, so they can get outside of their own being. And in this case, this wasn't your direct experience. The book is an act of imagination from the beginning.
Well, I think what it is, it's not so much write about what you know as much as it's write about what you want to know about. After talking with these girls, I had all these questions in my mind about, well, what what's going to happen to them. And because I only had you were never able to get their phone numbers. They just had your phone number. So I was never able to follow up on any of these girls, and I kept thinking about them. And I think it's a natural inclination for people, especially writers, to try to make a story out of the things that you want to know. And that's where the book really came from.
Well, I was interested, too, in the characters, Eva and George, who are the adoptive parents. I think you evoked their... the complexity of their wanting a child and the relationship that they have with Sarah in this sort of emotional fantasy that they create, which then turns out to be a disaster.
Right, right. Well, that came from, I began to realize during the whole process of open adoption that people have certain expectations of what the whole process is going to be, and they, someone like George and Eva, were very idealistic, and they thought, you know, this is going to be great. We're going to be great adoptive parents, and we're going to have this open relationship. And people never stop to focus on the bad side of things, where very human emotions like jealousy and need and yearning are just going to pop up and sort of ruin things. And, you know, the interesting thing about George and Eva was that the adoption agencies, before I wrote the book, were really, really happy that I was writing a book about open adoption. And after the book came out, they were furious with me because they felt that I was bringing up these bad side of adoption and then it would turn people away from the process. And I kept telling them, no, I'm very pro-adoption. I just think that when people go into something like this, you should be aware that, yes, you're going to feel jealous, whether you're the adoptive mother or the birth mother. And why wouldn't you? It's a really natural emotion to feel when you consider what's actually going on here. The birth mother is giving up her child, and an adoptive mother is taking on the child of someone else, and you still have this relationship with each other. So, of course, you're going to have these very prickly, difficult emotions cropping up. And I just wanted people to realize that and to, you know, be ready to deal with them.
Well, I can attest to that from personal experience, because we did also do an open adoption with a child after having had another child, and actually before having had a third. And I can tell you that anybody who is involved in open adoption, which for us was very positive and very just life changing, is also complicated, and I think it's very likely that there are people who put blinders on
right.
when they go to adopt, and the open adoption process appears to them to be this beautiful thing, and I think it can be, but life is complicated, and as you as this novel kind of shows, people are not always able to control or direct the flow of their emotions in a positive way.
Right.
Life is complicated. So, and what I love Sarah, because she was real in that way, that, you know, it was totally raw. It was like being addicted in some way, that she was addicted to her child, to the experience of being a mother, which took over her life and changed, literally changed the flow of her life in such a big way that it takes many years to resolve, which is, of course, the rest of the novel, which I'm not going to give away to people who haven't read it.
Right.
but, you know, I think we can say that the book comes out, I think it ends in a good way, but it's a long and complicated journey, and you're not trying to tie things up neatly. It's not all happy in the end.
Right, right.
And I think that is honest and really, you know, good. I mean, you know, we want a story to end when we, I think story kind of demands an end, but it doesn't have to always be the predictable end.
Right.
And I think that's what, you know, that differentiates the story from many others. So this book came out, I believe, if I remember this correctly, 2006.
Yeah, I think so.
So, and I think you told me another time we talked that you rewrote this book 10 times.
Oh, at least, at least. This book was so hard to write. It took me a really long time to find the story and to figure out whose book it was, and it was so, so complicated. And at one point, I think it was like 2 years into the writing, I printed out 5 copies of the book, and I sent it to 5 writer friends and or writers that I knew and just said, you know, tell me what your opinion is. And they all came back with radically different opinions. And I remember one person actually told me, every writer has one book that they need to be burned, and this is yours. You should just give this book up. It's not working at all. And I was devastated, but I couldn't give it up. So I had to sit down and just go through draft after draft after draft until finally, I think it was 3.5 years into the process, I started to figure out, oh, it's Sarah's book, and this is her line. And then the book sort of unlocked, and the rest of the writing was a little bit easier.
Well, as I think of it, it's just an amazing feat of concentration and dedication, and that you would be able to stay with it for such a long period of time through so much work. That's a real testament to your commitment. You know, it's also probably something that strikes kind of the average person who has never written a novel like me as just incredible.
Well, it's, you know, it's weird. I always say that being a writer is it's the best and the worst job in the world, because, you know, it is torturous to spend that much time on something. But the moments when it is sheer bliss make up for the torture. There's just something so deeply satisfying about it that you almost don't mind the days when it's so difficult and it's so horrible that you start to think, well, you know, maybe I should have gone to dental school, or maybe I should have done anything else. It's just enormously, richly satisfying. And I'm at the point now where I know that every novel I write is going to take me 3 or 4 years, and it's going to be really hard, and I'm going to not lose my way a million times. But it's just so worth it that I don't mind.
Well, so that kind of leads to the next question, which is, what's the book after Girls in Trouble, and how soon after it was done did you start?
I had an idea. I always have an idea percolating when I'm about, you know, in my last draft, and I do that deliberately, because otherwise there's that space where you think, oh, my God, what am I going to do next? So I had the idea in my head. But again, I've been working on this particular book, it took me about 4 years to write, and it took me about 2 years, again, to figure out what the story was. For a long time, it was just a lot of dead ends. The book is tentatively titled Breathe. They want me to change the title, and I haven't come up with a good enough title yet. And it's about the ramifications of a very mysterious car crash. It's caused by this woman who's a photographer who's fleeing her husband, who's just gotten his girlfriend pregnant. A mysterious woman dies in the accident, and there's a little boy who's seen running into the woods. And it's just about what the people were doing there on that day and what their relationship is to each other, and, you know, how we see other people and the secrets we know about other people and the secrets we don't know about them. It's another human drama.
And what stage is that book in?
It's going to be published by Algonquin in the fall of 2010. It's right now they're just trying to think of, they want me to think of a new title for it, and I'm waiting for the stage, which is called Page Proofs, which is when they have it all printed out on the page, and you get to look at it one last time before it goes into print. So that book is actually pretty far along.
Yeah, that sounds like that book is done.
Yes, that book is done.
Maybe we'll be looking for advanced reading copies sometime.
Oh, absolutely.
In the next few months, and we can get a feel for that book.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that would be fun to read. So how many books have you written altogether?
That book is my 9th.
And obviously each one could not have taken 4 years, or otherwise you would be
108. No, I actually was a very quick writer when I started. I used to be able to do a book a year, and I don't know what happened, but it seems to take me longer and longer each time. I'm not sure why. Maybe a lot of it has to do with having a child myself, because I have so much less time, and know, I have a husband now too, so that there's always other things that I want to do other than just sit in my office and write all the time. But it definitely takes me a lot longer.
Right, it makes you a more well-rounded person.
Yes, definitely. It definitely does.
So do you see the writing, maybe each book, as solving a particular emotional problem? Or I don't want to say that literally, but or, you know, kind of exploring a particular psychological or emotional area that you're interested in?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the interesting thing is that sometimes I don't even realize what it is until the book is done. But it's always some question that I really want to know about, or that I really want to answer myself, or that I haven't, or some issue in my life that I haven't let go of that I need to explore. And usually it comes up with, you know, some answer for me that I didn't even realize. So it's really very therapeutic for me.
And do you find that, I mean, do you have any sense of who's reading your books? I mean, do you hear from people? You know, I know you have a website, and I'm just sort of curious whether, you know, what kind of response you get, what are people who read your books, what do they say to you?
I do get a lot of response, especially now that there's the internet. It's great. I get a lot of emails and I get a lot of stuff. And the interesting thing is that a lot of times I feel that when people write to me, I don't want to say that they're afraid, but there's this kind of like distance. And I always feel like saying, you know, I'm just a person like you, and I'm really happy that you're writing to me, and you don't have to, you know, over compliment or anything. Just tell me what you think about the book. But a lot of times people will write and some of my fans I've ended up being friends with just because the conversations have been great. And, you know, I have to say a lot of times, especially with girls, I got some angry email where people were very, very furious at me for writing the book. But again, that was a conversation that we could have, and that's always helpful and that's always interesting.
Well, I think, you know, every time if you write anything, whether it's a book or anything, even an essay or a short story, you know, you put it out there in the world and you don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's interesting to, you know, to see how you engage in the emotional lives of other people, obviously. And a book can take on other meanings for people than you ever intended it to take.
Right.
And especially, you know, I think in this case with Girls in Trouble, it is somewhat of an emotionally fraught territory for many people. You know, for the women who have to give up a child is just an unimaginably emotional experience. And so if one of them were to read your book, I think clearly it would strike on emotional chords.
Right. Well, the most satisfying thing was hearing from the birth mothers, because before the book was published, there was some buzz about it, and I got a lot of letters from birth mothers saying, you know, we have a bad rap, we're really worried about the book, and I kept telling them, don't worry about it, you're going to really like the book, you're going to really like what I did with this birth mother. And after the book came out, I heard from a lot of birth mothers who told me that they felt I had gotten it exactly right, and they were really happy with it, and that was just so overwhelmingly great for me to hear, because I had wanted to, you know, promote this very sympathetic character. But on the other hand, I didn't really set out to be a spokesperson for open adoption. I was just writing one story of one particular girl and one particular family. So that was sort of interesting.
Yeah, and of course you did. I think the complexity of her story, which I go back to over and over again, I think is really the strength of the novel, that it's, you know, you follow her kind of relentlessly through the difficulty and the ups and the downs in her life, which I think is really a strong thing to do. I kind of contrast it a little bit to Juno, the movie,
mm-hmm.
which I loved. You know, I loved watching that movie. I thought it was really fun, but it's a movie versus a book.
Right, right.
And it's also a neat and happy story versus
right.
a,
right.
you know, real life.
Right, yeah, I had some problems with Juno, but I mean, I enjoyed it. I had a good time at the movies watching it, but, you know, in terms of, I just didn't think it had, you know, the depth and that I sort of wanted the story to have. And from what I know about adoption, it's not that easy for anybody.
No, I think the movie tends to reduce the complexity rather than portray it.
Right.
Whereas your book, you know, and again, I don't want to, you know, they're not literal comparisons there, but it is kind of interesting. And I definitely think Girls in Trouble is something that, it's a book that I would recommend, not just, you don't have to be interested in adoption, you don't have to be, you know, have any experience in adoption to be interested in this story, because the story is one that just, it's really, you know, universal in the sense of being about the emotional lives of people that you've done a terrific job of introducing to us.
Thank you.
So, anyway, thanks, Caroline, for this, Caroline Levitt, for this interview. Caroline Levitt's the author of Girls in Trouble. This is David Wilk for Writer's Cast, and thank you very much.
Thank you so much, David.
Bye.
Bye-bye.